Well, good morning, Kairos. How we doing? All right. I am glad to be back. I've missed being here, being with y'all over the last 2 weeks. Super thankful for Rusty coming and speaking. And then Chris last week, man, brought such a powerful message and a powerful testimony that I'm pretty sure there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And just so thankful for those men. Yeah, that's right. Praise Jesus. He's okay. I'm just so thankful for those guys to step in to allow me to take some time to get some rest and spend some time with my family. I hope you all had an amazing Thanksgiving. But we're back, and I'm back, and I'm excited about diving into week 5 of our series, Echo, that we've been going through this powerful prayer series. If it's your first or second time, man, we've been in this series for, you know, almost five weeks now, and just really feeling this movement of prayer within our church and really coming back to a place that prayer is a priority in our lives, in our families, and in our church. And we're using this Echo prayer series really to help you develop that. And we've given you a bunch of different materials in which to help, you know, build this daily habit of prayer for yourself, with others within the church, and also as a church. If you haven't checked out any of those things, you're not on the Echo Prayer app, I would absolutely encourage you to get on that. And then, of course, we have some resources as well that you can use just to help you dive into and develop daily habits of prayer. All right. Well, today we're talking about prayer, and you know, it's funny. I had a plan for today, and God had a different one, right? And he led me. It's so funny because it should have been one that I already had in the bag to preach, but he led me to the Lord's Prayer, right? And how are you gonna have a prayer series without the Lord's Prayer, right? Like, and so he led me there through the thing as I was studying. And how many people know the Lord's Prayer? Like, you know it by heart, yeah? You could say it right now, or you say it every day. It's a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus spoke and he shared. And so if you don't know it, I want to read it to you. I'm going to look at the two different accounts. There's one in Matthew, which is the more popular one, I believe, that you'll hear kind of quoted, repeated, shared. And then there's one from Luke. And actually, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put Matthew 6:9 up on the screen. This is the Lord's Prayer. And I'd love for us to read this together. Can we do that? All right, here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Very short, very simple, very powerful. Now, over in Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, there's this moment with Jesus. It's a very notable request that comes from his disciples, and I believe it carries very deep importance for what we're going through and what I believe is going to bring us, not just us, but all of God's children, back to a place of a prayer being a priority in their lives. So let's look at the account from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says this: he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, and this is the key moment, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. And so there, that key phrase there from the disciples, very simple one, teach us to pray. Now, as I come across this phrase, many questions begin to swirl for me. I guess the first one that really comes to mind is why would these Jewish men, these Israelites, need Jesus to teach them to pray? If you know anything about Hebrew culture, about Jewish culture, surely they learned how to pray during their Torah education, right? Surely they, from the ages of 5 through 12, prayer was as a part of their study. Or as they observed the Sabbath, or as they observed Passover, or as they went to the temple and asked for prayers of repentance, or even just hearing God's word read in the temple. Like, prayer absolutely had to be a part of their lives. But they ask, teach us to pray. Now, what's really interesting, too, is like this is in Luke chapter 11. So there's already some stuff that's gone on. There is ministry happening. They're seeing Jesus do a mighty work, and they are doing a mighty work. And in Luke chapter 9, verses 1, it says, summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons and power to heal diseases. And then he sent him to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But yet they didn't know how to pray. Interesting, isn't it? So really what we got to do is we got to begin to inspect this question a little bit more and really, you know, drill down into the context. You know, coming off of verse 1, where it says Jesus was praying in a certain place. We talked about this, the importance of our pace and our place and making sure that people like our children, our families, our spouse see us as a Christ follower who prays and prays often and prays consistently. And so Jesus coming back from a certain place, this is a place where he went. This is something that he did often. They recognize a pattern in his life. He was praying and he often withdrew to pray. And maybe some of them would, you know, kind of try to get close to him and overhear him. Maybe they would eavesdrop a little bit, or they would hear him praying and crying out to the Father. And they heard something different, like how he prays, the attitude that he prays with, the posture that he prays with. It's different. It's different than anything that they've ever experienced before. This isn't like the religious leaders. It may not even be like what their parents how the parents, but it's nothing like they've ever been taught. The way that Jesus prays is personal. It's authentic. It's submissive. It's humble. It's selfless. And so we go back to the question, and this is how they want to be taught to pray. It's not just teach us to pray. It's teach us to pray like you, Jesus. And that's the most powerful thing in looking at how Jesus prayed and what Jesus prayed and what he was calling the Father for. This is what we want to be taught. It's not some, you know, lofty words. It's conversation with the Heavenly Father who loves you and wants to hear from you. And so that's what they heard. And teach them that he does. He teaches them. He shares the Lord's Prayer, and then he gives two parables as he often did. Before we dive into that, I believe we need to examine again the problem of prayer within our churches. You see, Jesus' disciples wanted to learn how to pray above all else. However, it would seem that the priorities of today's churches are precisely the opposite. When I kicked off the series, I shared the statistic of 2%, that only a very small percentage most often pray audibly with another person or group, 2%, or collectively with a church, 2%. Of Christians are praying with other Christians. 2% are praying audibly within the church. A similar statistic arises as it pertains, of course, to the priority of prayer in churches. And a nationwide survey asked of pastors, this is performed by Barna, to identify their highest ministry priorities. Among the top results were evangelism and outreach at 46%, preaching at 35%, and prayer ranked dead last at 3%. Now, I want to share some other statistics here because I thought this was interesting. Overall, 12 different ministries' emphasis were listed, but at least 3% of the pastors align in three distinct level priorities. The highest, the most frequent priority were discipleship and spiritual development, 47%, evangelism and outreach, 46%, and preaching. The second level included congregational care efforts, visitation and counseling was 24%, worship 19%, ministering to teenagers and young adults 17%, missions 15%, community service 15%, ministry to children 13%, congregational fellowship 11%. And then, of course, it says the lowest priorities among the dozens of ministries described by pastors. And this other one's pretty rough. Ministries to families, 4%, and then prayer, 3%. I mean, a lot of that is pretty hard to hear, but that prayer at 3%, it really hits heavy and it hits hard. And again, you begin to realize why our country and our culture is in the place that it is today, because churches aren't praying and their priorities are all out of whack. Now, it's notable, and this came from an article that I read on BibleToLife.com. It's notable that the apostles did not ask Jesus about the proper way to heal the sick or to organize a church or to teach the scriptures. Now, of course, these things were discussed, right? But they did ask him how to pray. Although prayer was a common practice in Jewish culture, they recognized something different about the way that Jesus prayed. They wanted to pray like him. And here's the deal. They realized that what he was doing, he always led it with prayer. He always went to the Father. And why did he go to the Father? Because he wanted to do the Father's will. And this is why prayer is so important. And this is why our churches are in such disarray, because we're not praying. And if we're not praying, we're not living out God's will in our lives. And it's so important. So I share that to say that we have a prayer problem in our churches. And if our churches, then I'm guessing we definitely have a prayer problem within our homes. God pressed it upon my heart to enter into this series because we are failing in our prayer lives, both collectively and personally. And so today I'm saying, like the disciples, we need to cry out to Jesus and say to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Place within us a desire to pray like you earnestly and fervently and consistently. And on that note, I want to pray and we'll dive into the rest of this. God, we are just, we are so in awe of your word that we get to read about the things that your son Jesus did and what he taught the disciples then, and he is still teaching us now, and you are teaching us now. So thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us to gather, to learn your word, to learn your scripture, and to hear your commands, and ultimately, God, to take them and to go and do your will. Today, as we hear about your prayer and how you desire for us to pray, God, I pray that we would really take it all in and really begin to desire this deep, fervent passion for prayer in our lives, both here at church and at home. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so they say, teach us to pray. So let's dive into that. Jesus teaching them to pray. In response, he gives them what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Again, I'm going to read it to you. This is Luke 11, 2 through 4. Whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. And so that's it. You got a three-sentence prayer, and that's all you need to pray ever, right? This is the Lord's Prayer, and why would you need to pray anything else ever? That's it. So just pray this every day, and you're good, right? No, not necessarily, but I want to talk about this. This is a powerful, meaningful, important prayer, but it is the baseline. It is the foundation. It's the root of all prayers. Within it, we have this simple, succinct prayer. We find five main things that all of our prayers should be rooted in, and I want to break them down for you. And we're going to look at Matthew 6, 9, and I'll give you the five main things. So Matthew 6, verse 9, five roots of prayer for the Lord's Prayer. It says, Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. So what's that mean? As we go to the Father, we recognize his sovereignty, we recognize his authority, we recognize his goodness, we recognize his omnipresence, his omnipotence, we recognize who he is, that he is the all in all, that he is the beginning and the end. Within our prayers, this is how we got to go in. We go in humbly and recognize that ultimately he is the ultimate authority, and he is sovereign and good and great and wonderful no matter what's going on in our life. So that's the first one. Recognize his sovereignty and goodness. Number two, coming from Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the one thing that stood out here is his will. And if it's going to be his will, what does that mean? That means we got to relinquish our control to his will. And so whatever's going on, when we go to him in prayer, we may seek or want or desire something, but when we pray, we need to pray and say, God, may it be your will and not mine. May it bring you glory and not me glory. Matthew 6:11, it says, give us today our daily bread. And I love that it's very specific to today, because we get so caught up and worried about tomorrow and the next year, or the next 5 years and a five-year plan. But this is very specific in saying, today, give us our daily bread. And what's that mean? That means we should be asking him every day to provide for us. And so this is requesting his provision for today. And, you know, he says daily bread, but this is all provision. This is physical and spiritual and emotional. This is to help us get through the day and provide the words that we need and the boldness that we need and the courage that we need and the willingness to follow him that we need. Give us today what we need for today. And that should be in our prayers. The fourth one, Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And I think we get this one. We need to go into prayer again with a humble heart, recognizing first and foremost that we are sinners. And if there is a sin in our life, we ask for forgiveness. But within that, maybe we also go to God and say, God, I'm dealing with an issue right now with someone that I'm going through, and I need you to forgive me and give me the power and the spirit and the gentleness and the mercy and the grace to forgive them as you've forgiven me. Because this debt, we couldn't pay, and he forgave it. And so as there is debt owed to us that can't be paid, we have to offer forgiveness, just like forgiveness was offered to us. And so we go into prayer, asking to be forgiven and asking him to give us a spirit of forgiveness toward anyone who has hurt us or harmed us in any way. And lastly, verse 13 says, and do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is the reality. God does not tempt us. But there will be temptation in our life. When the temptation comes, it's remembering that he has given us spiritual protection, right? That he has given us the spirit. And by the spirit and by the word and by his people, we can resist. But we've got to utilize those things in our lives. And what prayer helps us do, if we're praying this, remembering the spiritual protection, whatever we're being tempted with, we can go to his word, we can go to his spirit, or we can go to his people and help us get through it. We don't try to do it on our own. And so these are the five. I'll read them back to you. Recognize his sovereignty and goodness. Relinquish control to his will. Request his provision for today. Receive and offer forgiveness. And remember his spiritual protection. And they're really good. I mean, you look at it from the outset, and it seems simple. But within those five things, there is so much that our prayers could cover. There's so much that needs to be at the foundation and the root of what we are praying. Now, this is something interesting to ponder. Since this is the model of prayer, one would expect to see this throughout the rest of the New Testament, right? Do you know how many times the Lord's Prayer is mentioned in the New Testament? Twice. I gave them both to you. And it's really just once, because it's the same thing or the same moment by two different accounts. And you only see it one time. But it's done by the Lord. And if Jesus says it, guess what? It's probably pretty important, and you should probably follow it. I'm just going to throw that out there. But it's interesting. We only see it right here. Why don't we see it throughout the rest? And so some people get so caught up in saying, like, this is the prayer, and I have to pray this way, and I got to repeat this, and if I don't say the Lord's Prayer, then the Lord won't bless me. And it's so much more than just that. Again, it's a foundation. It's a root, and it teaches us to call to mind these five things in every one of our prayers. And maybe it won't be all of them all the time, but it should be at least one of them most of the time, if not one or more of them. And specifically, I would say this, and what I've seen in Jesus' prayers, that it would be rooted in God's will. This is what I believe. Above all, our prayers must be rooted in God's will to bring God glory. Not our comfort, not our desires, not what we want to happen or hope to happen or expect to happen, but what God wills. And so as we go to him, that's either how we got to start it or how we got to end it. It's so important. Now, while this prayer, seen like this, is only seen right here, Jesus modeled this for us all throughout his ministry and all throughout the Gospels. And I want to share just a handful of those with you that I pulled up. So the Lord's Prayer manifest throughout the Gospels. Luke 22:40 talks about temptation. When he reached the place, he told them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. There we go. What's he praying for? Protection, spiritual protection. Remember who God is. Matthew 5:44, forgiveness. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. What's at the root of that? Forgiveness. Luke 10:2, we have provision. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, what? We pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So this is provision. We pray for God to provide. Luke 21:36, going back to temptation. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place. Matthew 15:36, provision. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks. He prayed, he broke them, and he kept on giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. What do we see that day? Provision upon provision upon provision, and it was led through prayer. John 12:28, Father, glorify your name. And this is just God's glory. Bringing God glory, showing God glory, living our lives for God's glory, remembering God's glory. John 17:12-15, this is protection. While I was with them, this is Jesus talking about his disciples, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. Verse 15 says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Very interesting that he said, hey, don't take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the troubles, but protect them and give them the strength and the courage to get through whatever it is they're going through. I want to encourage you. John chapter 17 is known as Jesus' high priest prayer. And the whole chapter is just his prayer over his disciples and over his people, which includes you. And so if you've never read that in its fullness and in its entirety, go and read John chapter 7 and be encouraged by Jesus's prayer over you. Because you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are his disciple. Matthew 26:39. This is God's will. Going a little farther, he fell face down and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 26:41. Stay awake and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. There is that protection again from temptation. And then lastly, Luke 23:34, forgiveness. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Now, those are just a handful of the examples of the Lord's prayer manifesting itself within prayer. And the root being these 5 things that I shared. And that was just from Jesus's life. You could go throughout the New Testament and the letters that are written there and the books that are written there and find at the root of the prayers of the disciples, of the apostles, all of these things. But you see this root of protection, of God's will, of God's glory, of forgiveness. And you begin to understand what the disciples were hearing and how they were hearing Jesus praying. He's saying, you know what? The way that he prays, the power in which he prays, and the way in which God answers, I want that. I want to experience that. Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Teach us these things, and he gives it to him. Another great note here about this prayer is to call to mind kind of, you know, in our prayers when we're dealing with trials and temptations and difficulties, what's so interesting about this prayer is that there are some really, really clear parallels from when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and how he was tempted, and then going back to the roots of how he prayed. And so we look at this. So Jesus was tempted. I'm not going to give you that story right now, but Jesus was tempted to seek provision. What, turn the rocks into bread. You're hungry. What is that? That's provision. And then there was this prominence. Hey, I can make you the ruler of all this kingdom, right? And I can give it all to you. Just bow down. And then there's this purpose. And he even says, you know, if you jump off this high, you know, mountain, the angels will catch you. And so there's provision, there's prominence, and there's purpose. And so I was looking at these things. And so there's food and there's glory and there's will. And there's it's either ours or it's God's. So how are we going to provide for ourselves? Are we going to do all that we can to make provision for ourselves instead of asking God? Are we going to seek our own glory or make sure that what we are doing and how we are praying is giving him glory? Or are we going to live out our will versus God's will? And in all of those, guess what? They all are. They're these daily temptations of life, these temptations that we experience, and we pray for protection. And so Jesus was tempted in this way, and we know that when he was tempted, that he responded with God's word within the temptations, what I talked about, like God will give us what we need, and he'll speak for us. And so he responded with the word of God, and we know that the word of God does not return void. And so he used God's word to protect himself from the enemy's attacks. And it's very powerful. And so here's what the Lord's Prayer reminds us. It reminds us that God's provision, God's prominence, and God's purpose will always surpass the enemy's and ours. The enemy will tell us and try to, you know, feed our desires right now. Say, hey, you're hungry. Hey, you're needy right now. Hey, I know you need this right now. Just take this and it'll be good. But then you go back to what God is doing and what God's will is and what he's trying to work out. And you say, you know what? No, I don't live on that alone. I live by the word of God and the promises of God. And I'm believing that what he has for me, what is coming, is going to be greater than anything you can offer me in the moment. And so we remember these things through the Lord's Prayer. And so these five roots of prayer must be added to our moments of prayer, that we recognize his sovereignty and goodness, that we relinquish control to his will, that we request his provision for today, that we receive and offer forgiveness, and we remember his spiritual protection. Now, the last thing, kind of before I wrap it up, you know, just like the disciples asked Jesus to pray, I believe for us as Christ followers, we ask our Heavenly Father the same thing. Lord, teach us to pray. God, give us a heart of prayer. Let us be prayer warriors. Let us be constantly, fervently in prayer. This is something that we should be learning. This is something that we should be developing. But more importantly, it's something that we should be modeling. You see, we have a duty. We have a duty, if you're a parent, to our kids, to show them and model for them prayer. We have a duty to younger Christians who just came to the faith. We got to show them how powerful and that prayer is a priority in our life. And we have to show it. We have to model it just like Jesus modeled it consistently for his disciples. So my question for you today is, who taught you to pray? Have you ever been taught to pray in your life? Maybe in your life, you didn't have parents who prayed, or at least you didn't see it as a priority in their life, or you didn't see it at all. Or maybe within church, you know, considering the statistics that I've shared with you, prayer was an afterthought. It wasn't really taught or a priority, and you didn't learn it there. Or maybe you have a warped view of what prayer is, and that you must say a certain thing or position yourself a certain way. You know, that's what the disciples saw of the religious leaders. This is the thing that they've been taught all their lives, and they felt they could never reach that level of piety in prayer. Because look at the religious leaders, they're haughty and they're pious, and it's all about these lofty words and how they dress, and they look so good and they sound so good and they know what to say. And we think, I could never pray like that. So we don't have this life of prayer. But you see, Jesus, he showed up and they witnessed something different. He taught them a better way to pray with an open, authentic, consistent conversation with God. There are no parameters that you must meet. There are no phrases that you must say. There's no dress code that you must pass. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, the Spirit is within you and you have direct access to God 24/7. And you don't need to say a certain thing, and you don't need to dress a certain way, and you don't need to position yourself in a certain way. You just get to have a conversation with him whenever you want. And you follow this guideline of prayers. And this is what we need to develop in our lives. I'm going to ask that the band would come out as I wrap this up. This is what we need to develop in our lives here at church. You know, in our seats, at the altar, being prayed over by others, this is what we need to develop at home, in the morning, on the way to school, at the dinner table, at night before we go to bed, or, you know, over our children as they sleep. Our children, our families, they need to see us model prayer for them before they will ask us to teach them, or before they will begin to emulate how we are praying. And so here's what I want to do. We're going to enter into our time of prayer right now. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to encourage you. In the last 4 weeks of our series, if you have yet to step out and to enter into the one of the ways in which we are calling you or giving you to pray, I want you to do it today. And let me just be very, very blunt. Your prayer praise card should be happening every single week. And so I'm going to challenge you to step out even more today, to get a little bit more uncomfortable. And again, I'm challenging you to listen to the Spirit and be obedient to the Spirit as he calls. You don't need to do anything specifically. You don't need to do it the way that I say, but I'm encouraging you to begin to develop these attitudes and these positions and these priorities of prayer in your life. And here's what I know. If we're not willing to enter into prayer in the midst of our church family, in the midst of other Christians, if we're not willing to receive prayer here at church, then something tells me it's not happening out there. It starts here. And this is what it's all about. And so, here's what I'll say, men. Men, grab your wife and your kids if they're in here and come pray over them up at this altar. Women, come up here and intercede on behalf of your husband or family members that are not here. And cry out to God for them. If you're struggling with an addiction or a sin or the difficulty with withstanding temptation, man, come and lay it at his feet. Or come and share it with someone who can pray with you and pray over you and get that accountability. Again, that spiritual protection comes from the Spirit, comes from the Word, comes from God's people. Followers of Jesus. Yeah. If nothing but blessing abounds over you, then come forward and thank him and praise him for what he's doing in your life. And on the tail end of that, pray for provision for those who are going through things right now that need it. We have all kinds of things to be praying for. And if anything, come forward and just pray the Lord's Prayer, right? That his will would be done in your life. That he would be given glory through what you're doing and what he's called you to do. That he would provide you for your daily needs and ask for forgiveness of any sin that you committed, or ask him to give you the courage to forgive someone else. And lastly, that the Spirit would protect and guide you in the moments of temptation. Would you guys pray with me? God, it is without a doubt, through Jesus's life, the way that he led his ministry, when he taught his disciples, prayer was at the top of his list. Prayer. He was constantly in communication with you. And it didn't matter what he had going on. It didn't matter who was around. He would withdraw to pray. He would take time to pray. He would wake up early to pray. He would model prayer for those that were around him. God, prayer is so important in our lives. So right now, as we enter into this time of prayer, God, I pray that the Spirit would move and speak, and that we would listen and obey. However you're calling us to pray today, whatever you're calling us to pray, whoever you're calling us to seek out to receive prayer from, God, that we would listen, because there's power in our prayers. There's power when we ask, there's power when we answer, there's power when we receive. There's so much power. There's power and there's miracles that can abound. But God, we got to take that step to ask. God, I pray that we would begin to model this right now. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.